Would you go with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for the joy of life, dear Heavenly Father, the joy of knowing that I have life through Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for the men and women who come here and faithfully serve. And Lord, I just pray that today, that as we break open this book, that you'll open our hearts, open our minds, and open our eyes to the truth. Lord, we need truth. We can't operate without truth. So that with all that's within me and all that I have, may the name of Jesus be made clear, that hearts are challenged, minds are changed, and souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. To the book of Jonah. And while you're going there, just a little bit of background. We're going to be working in Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And I just think it's very interesting that in America today we have these issues of what is commonly referred to as racial issues, but which are biblically referred to as sin. And here we get to take a peek at racist numero uno, Jonah. Yeah, Jonah was a racist, y'all. He sure was. He told God, I don't want to go and preach to those people in Nineveh, because if I do, you're going to save them. He hated the Ninevites. Why did he hate them? Because they were Ninevites. But I think there's a message here for all the racists, because y'all may not believe this, but there's racists of every race. I know that's not a commonly held thought, but it is true. There's racists on both sides of the fence. Amen? And unless we get a biblical point of view of what's going on, we will forever be doing like a dog chasing his tail, round and round and round. So we start with the Bible. We start with the Bible. And what we're going to talk about today, though, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving is coming up. Now, I told you, this man, he's got some, Jonah had some real issues, and we're going to see how God dealt with his issues. But Thanksgiving is coming up. And we are blessed. We are blessed to be in arguably the best nation on the planet, even with all of our issues. We are, in fact, you do realize that Thanksgiving is a national day of Thanksgiving, as in ordained by the federal government. And y'all pay attention, because anything that's Christian in our nation, as fast as they can get rid of it, you better believe they'll get rid of it, because look at Christmas. Those of us who got a few years on us, we used to have, right around Christmas time, what vacation did we have at school, y'all? Christmas vacation. Amen. What do my grandchildren have? Winter break. How'd that happen? How'd that happen? We used to get off for Easter. Now my grandchildren get off for spring break. How'd that happen? We used to never, ever, ever have a program on Wednesday night at school. Ever. What about now? They schedule it on Wednesday, even though every church, evangelical church, used to have Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. I'm going to challenge us to start remembering God and then start being obedient to God once you bring him back to your memory. But first, we've gotten so far away from really serving him. It's almost a foreign idea to
It's almost a foreign idea to say to the school board, why are we having this on Wednesday night? Don't you know folks go to church on Wednesday night? Oh, why are we scheduling this football game for Sunday at 11 a.m.? Why are you having a baby shower on Sunday at noon? Well, you know, gotta understand. It's only Jesus. He'll understand. I want to challenge you to start remembering some of these things. And when you remember these things, when you start remembering God, he expects you to do something about these things. These are not little things. These are just few things that just come off the top, but they're not little things. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. You stay at Jonah. I'm just going to read you this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Tells us to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always in all things. Our nation is tore up right now. Our nation is divided right now. But even in the midst of this, God's people need to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now show me how to do what I need to do. Let's go here to Jonah. Let's see what's going on here with Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, let's talk about remember the Lord. Remember to remember the Lord. Because all too often, when we try to think things through, we take God out of the equation. And when you take God out of the equation, so many other things sound logical. It sounds reasonable. In fact, sometimes it even sounds downright noble. Robin Hood and his merry men. Robin Hood, the old English fable. Robin Hood was revered because he stole from the rich and he gave it to the poor. And I was brought up to think, man, they even had Disney TV shows about Robin Hood. I was hooked on Robin Hood until I picked up the Bible and I found out that Robin Hood was just a thief. Messed me up. But it sounded noble because he was taking it from those rich people and redistribution of the wealth. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. But it sounds noble until you bring God into the equation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want you to remember, to always remember the Lord. In everything that you think and say and do, let this book, start with the Bible. Let this word of God be your guide. And he will be a light unto your path. Coming up on November 24th, it's our National Day of Thanksgiving, y'all. Don't take it lightly. Don't just say, oh, it's just another day off work. No, stop. Stop your children. Stop your grandchildren. Come sit down. And pull out that Bible and just say, y'all, look at what God has done. And by the way, most of us will be sitting in our house that God provided. Most of us will be clothed fairly well, which God has provided. Most of us will have a big old chunk of meat out on the table, which God has provided. And then when the day is waxing late, we're going to go jump out in that car that will most likely crank up and go someplace else, look for some more food. Amen. Okay. which God has provided. So you know, when you're saying the blessing and the thanks over that food, don't forget, remember God. Remember God, and remember that you and I are born in a country where we don't have to go like the people, the Christians over in Iraq right now. I read this stuff. You guys need to read some of this stuff. This Christians in Iraq. And guess what? They have to huddle together in the middle of the night so that nobody can find them. We are blessed. But when you talk to them, they'll say, we're blessed too. I say, oh my goodness. Maybe that's because they give thanks in all situations. And I'm just now learning how to do that. I don't know about y'all. But you know, I have taken so much of my life for granted. I have taken so much of my life for granted. I just thought, this is just the way it is. Until I read this book and I find out there's a whole world out there that is not like what I was blessed to grow up in. There are nations where human beings are being treated like dogs. Here Jonah is. Now, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't like those people. He expressed that very clearly. He said, I don't want to go there because I don't like that race of people. But, oh, by the way, God, I do want you to bless me. That does sound familiar. I know it does sound familiar. And so God had to get Jonah's attention some way, shape, or form. For me, he used money. For some folks, he uses other things. I suspect maybe, you think maybe Jonah didn't know how to swim, and maybe that's why God used this method? I don't know, but God is always, he always has an appropriate way of getting our attention. Some of us, somebody could walk in here with a pound of any old kind of dope, and man, get out of here. What's wrong with you? Wouldn't be tempted at all. But oh, if they come in with that top shelf liquor, hey, now that's a whole different ball game right there. But God has to get whatever it is, and he knows, what is it about you that God can get your attention? Well, with Jonah, God said, I want you to go over here and I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to tell some folks who you don't like, and oh, by the way, they don't like me either. That's what God's speaking. They don't like me. They ain't a bit more thinking about God than nothing. And God said, but I don't want them to perish. And I want you to go and be my spokesperson. He has said that to us, you and me, and he still says it to you and me. I have given you a sphere of influence. Everybody you meet, I have given you a sphere of influence, and I expect you to be an ambassador for me. Whoa, but I ain't the preacher. And your point? God says, I expect you to be an ambassador in that sphere of influence that I put you with, the folks who some know the Bible, some know a little bit, some don't know any, many don't care about it, but I expect you to take my book and my word, and I want you to share it with folks. You don't have to convince them of it, but I am commanding you, just like I told Jonah, go give them the word. Well, y'all know at least most of the story. Jonah said, ain't gonna do it. People ask, Pastor Will, why do people sin? Because they feel like it. Ain't deep. Now, they'll give you all kinds of rationale for doing it, but the bottom line is, just like Jonah, I just don't feel like going. I ain't going to do it. Understand me, God, I'm not going to do it. So God told him to go east to Nineveh, and he went west to Tarshish. In fact, he went as far west as the known world as he could get. But he couldn't get away from God. God caught him.
He was on the boat. The boat, God brought a storm to the boat. The men on the boat, the unbelievers said, wait a minute, this guy down here, he's something different about him. Church, when you name the name of Christ, go ahead, let me see you hide. Let me see you hide from your brothers and your cousins and your friends, and they be talking about Jesus. They be tossing, using God's name in vain, and you be over there trying to make yourself small. And you know you want to say something, but you don't dare say anything because those, you know, they're going to let you. They ain't shy about letting you know where they stand. But God put you in that space. He put you there so that you would stand for him. The unbelievers called out Jonah. They called him out. And then he had to say, yeah, I'm you know, all this storm and everything, it's because of me. It's because of me and all y'all out here praying to your gods, all these fake gods. And the one that I'm running from is, that's one who's bringing this storm on us. By the way, this is just a little side thing. When we don't act right and do what God has called us to do, guess what? We bring damage not only to ourselves, but anybody in contact with us. You know that, husbands? You know that, wives? You know that, uncle? You know that, auntie? When you are a child of God and you refuse to do what God has clearly told you to do, not only does it wreak havoc in your life and my life, but anybody who's closely associated with us is going to feel the burn. So bottom line was they got together and Jonah said, if you just throw me overboard, you guys be okay and I'll, you know, got to take care of this situation. So they threw him overboard and he's down in the bottom of this great fish that God prepared for him, special accommodations just for him. And he's down there and the weeds are going around his head and he's thank you. When God is dealing with you in situations like this, when he isolates you, he gives you lots of time to think. Oh Lord, been there, done that. He goes, I want you to think a while. I want you to meditate on me. And what's Jonah doing? He's thinking about God. He's thinking about God. And then in verse 7, we're going to start off talking about in times of trouble. We're talking about remember the Lord in times of trouble. Here Jonah is caught in the belly of a great fish. And in verse 7, he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. First thing that I want you to take note of, turn your Bibles to Psalms 42:11. Psalms 42:11. Talking about in times of trouble. Psalm 42:11 reads, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In times of trouble, when you find yourself in a fix, especially a self-imposed fix, better start talking to yourself. Because usually there's nobody else around. Amen. Jonah starts having a conversation with himself. He's thinking to himself, wait a minute. I remember who I belong to. Psalm says, when you're downcast, when your spirit is just, Jonah said, when my soul fainted, he goes, I'm at the end of myself, y'all. I have gone as far as I can go. I can't go anymore. My soul, my whole spirit, I feel like a dead man walking. Everything is just,
I turn to the left. There's a wall there. I turn to the right. There's a wall there. I can't stand up and I can't sit down. Everything in my life is upside down. Talk to yourself. Do you have hope in God? Do you know who God is? That's you saying it to yourself, not the preacher saying it to you. He says, do you hope? Do you know God? Do you know the one who's going to put that super moon out there tonight? Do you know the one who created all the heavens and the earth? Do you know the one who in the beginning spoke a word? And everything that is came into being? Do you know him? Do you really, really know him? Because when you come to the end of yourself and you find yourself in trouble, in times of trouble, you really need to know him. And you really need to know who he is and what he's willing to do. The Bible gives us so many illustrations. The Bible tells us about the children of Israel. When they cried out, when they went as far as they could go, and they cried out, they got that Red Sea, they got the mountains, they got Pharaoh's army, and they cried out, and God came through for them. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 18:6. Psalm 18:6. And I'm going to read down to verse 10. I love this passage. I love this passage. And I love this passage because look at what happens when you cry out, when God's folks cry out. I have seen, you've seen it on TV, I mean like real life videos. I saw a lady yesterday. Two dogs were at her child. Two dogs trying to bite her child. And this lady ran out. She couldn't get to her baby fast enough. And she picked up her baby. And while them dogs were biting on her and biting on her, she's kicking the dogs off. She's trying to get the key to her house. But she's going to take care of her baby. I was impressed. I was amazed. She, all the pain that it was causing her. I'm going to take. She threw herself on top of her child. And the dogs just started biting her. But that ain't nothing compared to this, y'all. That ain't nothing compared to this. In Psalm 18:6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto, not just the God. I cried unto my God. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because my God was wroth. He was upset because his child was crying. And he was coming to my rescue, y'all. If you know him, if you really know him, you call on him in times of trouble and he'll break the doors down. You hear me? It says that when a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. And why did he do it? Because one of his children cried out and said, I need you, Lord. I need you. And I'm telling you, everybody here, we all have situations. Sometimes you'll hear what I tell you is it's a hard time for me. He's like, man, that's nothing. And then on the flip side, what's easy for me is something that's messing you up. But I know the one who knows your situation and mine. And the Bible says he will tear this house down to come and take care of you. He's keeping picture this. He's keeping all the stars hanging. He's keeping the ocean going. He's keeping the fish flowing. He's got everything else going. And he said, whoa, my baby calling out to me. I'm going to put everything else on hold. My baby, my child, my children are crying. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. In times of trouble, when things are difficult for you, be sure you cry out to God. And it says, Jonah says, and my prayer came in unto thee, in verse 7, into thine holy temple. Understand, y'all. Understand, saints. This is a man who was in absolute rebellion. rebellion to God. God had said, go this way, and he said, I ain't going to do it. He might even said, and you can't make me. But he told God to his face, I'm not going to do it. So here he is in the midst of his rebellion. In the midst, just like some of us. Sitting here, some folks listening to me online, you're in the midst of your rebellion against God. You're in the midst of these hard, you see circumstances and situations just crashing in on you, your family, everything's falling apart. You're in the midst of it. And I want you to know, based on the word of God, just like Jonah said, I cried out and my prayer went straight to his holy temple. He's listening, y'all. He's listening more attentively than a mama listens to her newborn baby's cries. Mama, newborn baby start crying, and my kids would cry, and I'd go see my wife say, that ain't nothing. I'm just, what do you mean? She, no. I'd be sitting there, and then something else come on, and I hear them cry, and I get ready to go, no. They ain't really hurt. Okay. And then all of a sudden, I hear another cry, and she jump up. And I say, what's the difference between that cry? I know my baby's voice. I know my child's voice. God knows your voice. And he hears it when you cry. And he'll break this place down. He come right out of heaven. As the Bible says, he will bow heaven just to come and take care of us. What a mighty God we serve. That's what we do in times of trouble. And then Jonah's here now. He didn't cry out to God. And he knew, even in the midst of his rebellion, he knew that that prayer was going to reach God. Don't you ever think when you belong to Jesus Christ, don't you ever, 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 ever think that you have sinned so badly that you can't call back on God. He says, when you repent, see, because if you don't repent, you won't call him. That's come. I know Jonah repented. See, because when you don't repent, you keep trying to find some other way to get out of the situation. But then finally, when you come to the end of yourself, you got no other way out. Call on him. Verse 8, it reads, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those lying vanities, what in the world is a lying vanity? Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. We're going to let the Bible tell us what these lying vanities are. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. And he's talking about making idols and bowing down to gilded trees and bowing down to man-made stuff. And he says, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. When he says the stock is a doctrine of vanities, he's saying that all these false gods, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Charles Case Russell, all of them, false gods. Hinduism, thousands, millions of false gods. And look at what Jonah's saying. Jonah says, he says, they observe lying vanities. He's saying, don't you understand that when you're bowing down to man-made stuff, and I'm even talking not only idols, but ideology. You hear me? Stuff that you have put in your heart and you said, this is the way it's going to be. And it's patently against what God has said. Patently. But that's my ideology and I'm sticking to it. And Jonah is, now don't forget, Jonah's got some time to think. Jonah got some time to meditate. He's down here in the body of this great fish and he's thinking. His mind is going a lot of places because Jonah, don't forget, Jonah was a man of God. So he knew the word of God. He even had it hidden in his heart. That's come he could think about some of the things God was saying. And he's saying, it's vanity
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He's saying, when you hold this ideology above the word of God, when you hold that ideology above the word of God, when you hold this culture above the word of God, when you hold that culture above the word of God, he says, don't you know? Look at what he's saying. He's, don't you know that you're forsaking your own mercy? How does that work? God is full of grace and full of mercy. But when you put something ahead of him that you have put your trust in and your faith in, Jonah says, you have just forsaken the mercy that God was going to give you. See, because he's thinking about his own situation, because he had an ideology that him being a Jew made him superior to the Ninevites. They ain't as much people as we are. We're the people of the book, for goodness sake. God opened up the Red Sea for us. And you, all y'all do is war against my people and kill my people, and I'm not giving you the gospel, period. But now, while he got some time to think, he said, you know what? I have cut off my own mercy pipeline. That's what we do, y'all. When we decide what mama said and what daddy said and what grandma said and what Sally Sue, when you put that above the word of God, or you even put it beside, they don't even know, it has no place on the table. At the table with God's word. When you do that, you, nobody else, you have cut off the pipeline of God's mercy for you. You talk about self-destructive. Oh my goodness. And not only have you cut off God's pipeline of mercy to you, you have just set yourself up for a paid vacation with God. It's going to be on him. And he's going to pull you off to the side and talk with you for a little bit and try to get you straightened out. Because he's a good God. He's a good God. I'm so glad that God takes the time to punish me. Because if he didn't punish me, if he didn't ever correct me, what does he say about parents who don't correct their children? He said, when you don't correct your children, you don't love them. In fact, he said, if you don't correct your child, might not be your child. Boom! That's what the book say. I didn't make that. That's the book. He said, but those whom I love, I chasten. I correct you. And when he corrects us, it behooves us to remember that we need to remember our Lord. Verse 8. When you fall into lying vanities and start following these different idols and these different ideologies and following this man and following that man, you and I, we seriously do cut the pipeline of mercy. We just cut it. Jonah says we forsake it. We walk away from God's mercy. And then in verse 9, we're going to talk about remember. We talked about in the times of trouble, we talked about reclaiming my mercy. Says, remember to remember. In verse 9, he's thought about where he's at. He's thought about how he got here. And now he's saying, but I will. He has made a decision. He's made a conscious choice. He has decided that he said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's take a good look at that. He says, I used to. I know what it's like to observe lying vanities. I know what it's like to put things ahead of God. I know what it's like to put my feelings and my thoughts ahead of God. He says, but now. He says, but now. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a decision. And you're never too old. And as long as you have breath, it's never too late. You hear that?
you're never too old, you're never too sick, and as long as you have breath, it's never too late. We have friends, we have family members who have lived such hellacious lives. They have gotten so deep and dark in sin that we look at them and say, he on his way to hell. We're through with him. We're through with him. But I want you to know, but God, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the one who came, hung, bled, and died so that they don't have to stay in that state of mind. Tell them that Jesus loves them so much that he sacrificed himself on the cross that they might have, that we might have eternal life. Tell them, y'all. Tell them. Don't just shake your head in dismay and walk away. Tell them. And if you love them, especially those family members, especially those who looking at you and me, they have written us off as crazy. Yeah, I like the way they put it. Well, you know, Richard got religion. Like it's some kind of an infection. Yeah, he got religion. He started going to church and everything. He done got religion. And that's what they say about us, y'all. Well, you know, Rebecca, she done got religion. And then that's bad enough. But then we try to deflect it by saying, well, I go to church, instead of saying, you're absolutely right. I met Jesus. Let me tell you about it. That's because they have obviously noticed something changed. They know something has changed with you. They know how you used to conduct yourself. They know how you used to talk. When somebody crossed you, they know, they remember. But now whenever they say you done got religion, guess what? They have observed a change. And so instead of us trying to deflect and defray and cover that, why don't we own up to it and remember to give God the thanks and to give God the glory and to give God the honor. He says, he remembered. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 50. Psalm 50 and 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. And it reads in the King James Bible, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. God is saying, I when I read this and I think about Jonah being a prophet and Jonah being a man of God, he's basically quoting scripture. And you know what that says to me for myself and all of us? Hide God's word in your heart. The problem that I don't know, can't quote as many scriptures as I want to quote, the problem, reason that you can't quote as many as you want to quote, we don't give God the time that he's due. Now, Jonah had plenty of time. Okay. That's when God gets our attention. But he's quoting the scriptures. Remember, I told you there's going to come a time when it's going to be very difficult to get books. Jonah couldn't pull out his Bible. He couldn't pull out the scroll. But he had hidden God's word in his heart. And he says, Now, I know what I'm supposed to do now. Now that I have turned I've come to the end of myself and I figured out that I can't get it done, I cried out to my God. And my God came running. He came flying in on the wings of a cherub to take care of me. He says, so now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to present him a sacrifice. But Jonah, You don't have any incense. You don't have a lamb. You don't have a goat. You don't have a turtle dove. What How are you going to give God a sacrifice? He said, I'm going to give him the sacrifice of praise. He said, I'm going to give him the sacrifice of praise. He said, I'm going to start thanking him. I'm going to start thinking, I'm down here in the belly of this great fish. My life is a shipwreck. I couldn't pass that one up. And I'm going to give him what I got. I don't have anything else to offer him. And guess what, y'all? No matter what you got, the only thing you have to offer God is your sacrifice of praise. Everything you got, he gave to you. All you're doing is giving back his own stuff. But that sacrifice of praise, guess what? You know why all people are individual? There's nobody like you. Nobody ever been like you, anywhere like you. Nobody. Because the only thing that he doesn't have that he wants is you. Your sacrifice, the praise of your lips. If your wife does it, it's still not you. If your child does it, it's still not you. If I do it, it's still not you. He made you unique. Just like your fingerprint, nobody's voice. That's the come when that prayer comes into his holy temple. He knows who it is, because ain't nobody's voice like your voice. Ain't nobody's cry like your cry. And Jonah said, "I'm going to start thanking him. I'm down here in the bottom." You hear me? He gives new meaning to rock bottom. And he says, but even in the midst of this, I'm going to remember the Lord. And I'm going to start thanking him for everything. I'm even going to thank him that he cared enough about me to put me in this situation to where I will focus my mind on him. I'm going to thank him that I ain't got two nickels to rub together. But guess what? I got my mind stayed on Jesus. What else I need? My health may not be where it's going to be. But I got my mind. He's got my mind where it needs to be. And Jonah's a living testimony. He's standing, he's telling you. He goes, I'm going to start thanking him right here, right now. Some of us say, well, you know, Lord, as soon as you get me out of this mess, I'm going to start going to church. Oh, Lord. As soon as you get me out of this mess, Lord, I'm going to start giving to the church. I'm honest. I promise. Here's what you do first. First thing you do is just start giving the sacrifice of praise. Thanking him that you have breath. Thanking him that you have an opportunity to do anything that will point other people to him. Because you got to understand the dynamics of this story of Jonah. I'm just going to step off to the side here for a minute. Understand the dynamics. I told you, when people see you and they see a change, they know something's happened. They know something happens. Think of the people of Nineveh. When you see this Jewish man whom y'all hate, they might have even originated the term only good Jew is a dead Jew. They hated the Jews. And then you see this man come walking into your town by himself. You hear me? He didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come with on his private jet. In fact, he came as spit up from a fish onto the beach, and he walks into town, and he walks in boldly now, because now he knows God means business now, and he walks in boldly, and he says, you got 40 days. And if you don't turn from your wicked ways in 40 days, life will end as you know it. That gets folks' attention, y'all. That gets folks' attention. When you, sinner girl, when you, sinner boy, when God does a move in your life, when he does a move in my life, and you walk in to your family and your friends, and your coworkers, and they know what you used to do, and they know what you used to be like. And that's the operative word, used to be. They take note of you. Preachers are always saying, and I'm not beating them up. I'm really not. Some of my best friends are preachers. Okay. They're always saying, hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind the podium. That sounds so wonderful and so pious. It just sounds wonderful. That sounds so holy, so religious. If God wanted that, he'd just put a microphone up here without me. But he wants you to see that man who's speaking to you. Just, you ever wondered why it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So that you would understand these are regular people. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If they were trying to hide behind the cross, they didn't do a good job. Because I know who they are. And I know who they are, and I know that if God did it for them, he can do it for me. I want you to know that I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the book says. I can't hide my sins. Who am I hiding from? But I want that you, I look at some of y'all and I know the backstory on some of y'all. And I say, oh man, God, give me that kind of strength. I want that y'all to look here and understand, the pastor, the preacher is not elevating himself. But you should be able to look at that joker and say, he ain't always been like that. And I want to know what's changed. And I want to know how did it change. And as soon as that comes up, he should be the first one to say to you, but God. But God. Jonah starts giving this sacrifice of praise. And then Jonah says, I'm going to go and I'm going to pay the vows that I made. I made some vows. I told God I was going to do some things. I promised God I was going to do some things. And he said, I got to get about doing it. Because the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, you're better off not ever making a vow than to make a vow and break it. Here's a modern day translation for you. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you're going to say you're going to do something, do it. And if you say, I'm not going to do it, stand. Jonah said, I'm getting ready to go, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to give God the praise. And he says, because the only way, in this particular situation, he could be talking about salvation in two ways. He could be talking about deliverance from the belly of this wheel, from the belly of this whale, this great fish, or he could be talking about eternal deliverance. Either way you put it, Jonah is saying salvation is of the Lord. Now, you see, he already talked to you about those lying vanities. He's saying, you may believe in, you may think you got a good luck charm. I see so many people driving around with crystals on their rearview mirror. Don't you know all that thing going to do is hit you upside the head when you have a wreck? People got a good luck charm, a horseshoe, a rabbit's foot. Didn't do the rabbit any good. But we got all this stuff. He says, and Jonah is reiterating, salvation is of the Lord. Church, y'all got to say that. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not you. It's not what you do. It's not what you don't do. It is of the Lord. Because he says, any faith that you have in me, I gave it to you. So salvation is of the Lord. Find yourself in times of trouble. Talk to yourself. Find out, do you believe in God? Do you even have hope in God? And then find out what's been hindering you. Reclaim the mercy. Reclaim the mercy that God has in store for you. Stop squandering the mercy that God has in store for you. And then remember the Lord. And when it was all said and done, I told you this was about Jonah, God giving Jonah an educational trip. It says in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
you're in the midst of your problems, give God the sacrifice of praise. Thank him for giving you another opportunity. Thank him for getting your attention. Thank him for being God and being God all by himself. But now guess what? He says, time to go to work. I told you before I put you in the fish, before I put you in this circumstance, before I put you in the middle of this divorce, before I put you on this on the unemployment line, before I put you with this pay cut, before I did that, I told you I had some things I want you to do. And now that I have your attention, I want you to go out, and I want good shepherd and all within the sound of my voice. Boy, folks, if you have not noticed ever before, our nation is in a mess. And there's only one solution. And there's no other ideology, no other idol, no nothing. The only solution is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you're trying to stand on anything else, if you're trying to be the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Green Party, the Independent Party, anything that you're trying to hold up, you're blocking your channel of mercy. Because it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those of us who have named the name of Christ, the bulk of this message is to you. Because you're already saved. You just need some encouragement along the way. You're already saved. But for those here today who don't know him in the part of his sins, you've got a much bigger problem than Jonah had. Because Jonah knew God. You don't know God. You have never made a profession of faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. You might have mumbled it by yourself somewhere, but you've never made it a public confession. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says to whosoever, that's why they call the gospel good news, because he says for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know him today, if you don't know him, I want you to take this opportunity to come and be a partaker of this gospel journey, this wonderful trip with this God who hears all, does all, says all, and cares for all. I want you to come join us. And for those of us who name the name of Christ, I want you to, in your time of greatest affliction, remember to remember the Lord. God bless you.